Rencontre avec David Bryant, musicien du groupe gospel du Black Emperor, Set Fire to Flames, ingénieur du son et réalisateur canadien, lors du masterclass Stand Zero à Bucarest en septembre 2020. Il raconte à Pierre comment il est tombé dans la création sonore et la musique. Cette rencontre fait écho au masterclass Stand Zero proposé par Stéphane Charpentier.
What was my gateway into an obsession with sound? I moved, I was born in Scotland, and I moved to Canada with my mom when I was 7. I didn't really have much exposure to sound and music when I was in Scotland, but my mom got me this little turntable when I was 7. And the first 45 I had was a Cher 45, Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves, which is this super distorted, like beautiful collision of sound and voice. And I would just play this thing all the time. And she also got me this like Orson Welles, The War of the Worlds on vinyl. And it was like this audio version with sound design, and it was like this immersive reinterpretation of War of the Worlds. And then a Beatles record. I think everyone has like this exposure to the Beatles when they're young. But I think that the thing that I became obsessed with was radio early on. I had this little transistor radio also when I was young, and I would like put it under my pillow. I think a lot of people did this when they were young, putting the transistor radio under the pillow and listening to like the transmissions at night so your mom couldn't hear. And that stayed with me forever. I became obsessed with shortwave radio at some point, and had this old shortwave radio. And shortwave radio in the 90s was amazing. It was still like this collision of frequencies in the air. Like now, it's disappearing. It's heartbreaking because everything is digital, and we're losing this ability to just tune in shortwave radio. It just doesn't exist anymore. But in the mid-90s, it was crazy. And because of the way frequencies travel, so at nighttime is the best time to get reception on shortwave. And I would listen to, at that time, there was all of these militant survivalists in America, and who had built these compounds, you know? And stockpile weapons, whatever, it's still fucking happening. It's getting worse now. But and they all had these like 1-watt radio transmitters, and they were broadcasting. They were just at nighttime, just what I think now seems, because of the internet, anyone can broadcast. But that time it was like a rare thing, right? To pick up these renegade signals from people. And I would listen to that. Then I would at some point, I would drop a microphone. I was living in this really sketchy part of Montreal, where it wasn't always sketchy, but at some point, the corner turned into this like a drug corner. And it was heartbreaking because the neighborhood it's like this desperation that would be there all night. And I would hear it at my window. And I think this is one summer where I just, I crossed a threshold where the neighborhood was. It was heartbreaking, like, because I would hear it through my window, and I started to record. I would like drop a microphone on my window, and I would have headphones on all night, just like listening to the sounds on this corner, not even recording it, just like fucking listening to it. And it was like, at some point, I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is too much. But I think I don't know, I've always been interested in sound. For sure, music. I think when I first, it was a mystery to music at some point. You would hear a whisper of a record, and then you would try and find this record somehow. I remember the first Jesus Mary Chain record. I remember taking the train to Toronto, buying the record. Had no idea what they sounded like. Riding home on the train with the record, opening it up, looking at the images and the cover. And then the first time I heard that record, it was like, you know? And then, like, for sure, all of the stuff, like American hardcore, all the stuff from DC, Minor Threat, Black Flag for sure changed the way like I understood what music could be, but also the politics, this collision of politics and music, the idea of the collective, anonymity. equitability, you know, and it, I don't know, it's been a constant, it's a long fucking answer, I'm sorry, and it's rambling, but I think I've continued to hold on to these things that made me feel alive and made me see magic and...
Okay.
Sorry for the long answer.
You seem very mysterious with all your instruments.
Say that again?
Mysterious with all your instruments.
I seem mysterious with my instruments?
What sounds, grains, picture grains, did you,
do you
generate
in
yesterday's performance?
Like there's a big cavalcade coming. So your question was, what sound grains did I generate in the performance? It's important, is it, okay, I guess I would ask you a question. Is it important to know? Or is it better to have a bit of mystery to it? It's better to know.
No.
So the performance last night, I had a bunch of different sound sources, field recordings for sure. When I travel, I take a little portable recorder with me and just whatever, like a diary, like a scrapbook. You just record where you are. You never listen to it again, really. You don't use it for anything, but it's this thing, an obsession, I guess. And it's more in the moment for me. I think like when I have headphones on, I'm just like pointing a microphone at something because you have this microscopic, internal perspective on what it is you're experiencing that I like a lot. And so it's a strange thing, but it's like audio fishing or something. It's like fishing, you cast out a line, you kind of reel it in and see what you get. It's strange because I feel a certain level of uncomfort now about pointing a microphone at something. Something like almost parasitic about it, with photography too, with filmmaking. It's depending on what it is you're doing and how comfortable you are with the thresholds and limits. But I never felt uncomfortable when I was younger pointing a microphone at somebody or recording somebody. Now I do. Like as I've sort of been doing it, I'm more hesitant, and it's sad because I wish I had that lack of. It's not ethics or morals, but it is in some ways. But anyway, I still do it. So I used to record people more, streets, the sounds of the street. Now I record nature probably more, like or the sound of air vents, you know, wind rumbles. But for sure, so yeah, a lot of location recordings, oscillators. What else did I use? A music box. I have this little tape echo unit that I run a lot of stuff through, and it just sort of makes everything sound. Yes, you're asking me to articulate a feeling, I guess, that when a collision of sound and image works. I think that's hard to put into words. I think it's hard to talk about sound. It's hard to talk about image. For sure, hard to talk about the collision of those two. I would say. I don't know. I know there's like moments for sure. Like, for me, it's a really hard thing to marry sound and image in a way that doesn't feel manipulative. It's manipulative. It's manipulative no matter what, but it doesn't feel overtly manipulative or. Like, I hate fucking... I love soundtracks, yeah, but I fucking hate soundtracks for film. I think that there's a laziness to most of them. There's a bombast to most of them, and, like, a fucking severe manipulation to most of them. You know, like, this like, moment where you... This in anguish, someone has their head in their hands, and then the string section rises up slowly. Like, it's you feel that manipulation, and it's lazy, yeah? I think it's hard to have this collision of sound and image where it somehow works, where the, you know, obviously the sound is not dominating the image, but there's some sort of alchemy that happens where a new thing is created, and it's like a it's like true magic. It's like you're this halo of magic and light is sort of cascading. And for sure, last night, I don't know, there's like certain moments where
there was so much failure last night, like, for sure, like, it's inevitable, right? There's like failure points in everything that we had, the equipment, the ability for like three human beings to like communicate with each other, and then somehow communicate with the images of the scene, and then engaging with the room, like, the, you know, there's all these like failure points all the way down the line, and which is beautiful. I love all of it, right? Like, I love the failures as much as I love those moments of
I hate the fucking word transcendence, but for sure.
I play in a band, and so it's the terrain is familiar to me. Like, the band I play in, we've been traveling with film projectors for 20 years, so that every night we have 4 60-millimeter projectors and with film loops that we were all engaged in making. And so I know this thing about playing to images, but this is, I don't know, this is different. I think what struck me this time, like I'd seen the same program in Vienna, but the sound was a bit different. And for sure, sonically, like what Alyssa is doing is incredible. Like, she puts a lot of work into this, and I find what she does very beautiful. And I'm super happy to have been a part of this thing, for sure. But I think, my track, anyway, yeah, a lot of failure points, which are beautiful. But there was moments, I think for me, I saw the program in Vienna, but like engaging with the program this time, everything is like, for sure I have some photographers that I'm more drawn to, for sure. But I think what really moved me this time was like how strong each one is. Like it's kind of staggering how strong everybody's work is. Like, and it's relentless. It's really an exceptional thing. And so I know, for me, I know for Elisa and Vlad too, I'm sure, you feel the sense of responsibility, I think, to not annihilate and destroy what it is they saw, what it is they were putting into the world. Like, it's this little rickety ship that we all kind of like put into the water and like set out into the world, and to have the privilege to engage with that, I think is nice. And but it's a huge, I mean, for me, it's a huge responsibility. And an anxiety, and I didn't fucking sleep for 3 days. I don't think Elisa did. Vlad, I think, also. And when it works, and there was moments in that performance when this collision of sound and image, you know what's happening, like you feel it. Everyone in that room feels it, and it's not like a one-way communication model. It's like, it's this reciprocity that happens, right? It's this communal engagement with the thing. And at some point, like, some sort of levitation can happen when that process works, you know? And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you very much. That is so cool.
Really?